It was a Saturday morning several years ago. It's been so long ago, in fact, that I don't really remember where we were headed, but I do remember that we were in a hurry. And it was just my son and me in the vehicle, and we were about to turn right off of Highway 101 onto Main Street in Woodruff. And as we approached the intersection, there was a woman standing there holding a sign that simply said, "Hungry." Now, I don't know about that particular location, but generally we know that that happens a lot around here. I mean, if you don't have to travel through the intersection of Woodruff Road and 385 very often to know there's almost always somebody standing at some place at intersection. In fact, it would be easier for me to count the number of times that I exited off of 385 onto Woodruff and didn't see somebody there on the exit ramp than it would be for me to count the number of times that I did see somebody there. And I'm no dummy. I mean, I know that many folks, when they get money in that sort of situation, I know what they do with it. In fact, I'll never forget Deb Richardson Moore from Triune Mercy Center several years ago pleading with a group of people to please find other ways to help than just handing folks money, because so often just handing out money only serves to enable addictions and other bad habits. And all that went through my mind that Saturday morning as we approached the intersection and saw the woman standing there. And did I mention we were in a hurry? We were in a hurry, but as we drove past and we saw that woman holding that sign, my son, who was probably about 10 years old at the time, I heard his voice from the back seat. "Dad, don't you think Jesus would want us to help that woman?" If I'd been pulled over for making a U-turn at that moment, my excuse would have been, "Jesus made me do it." And as I made that U-turn that Saturday morning, I responded to my son, "Yes, son, I absolutely think he would." And so we went through the McDonald's drive-thru line on the corner. We bought a bag full of food. Not very nutritious food, but it was food nonetheless. And we drove across the street, parked. I had to kind of jump a ditch. And then I handed that woman that bag of food, and I said to her, "We want you to have this, and we want you to know that God loves you." While I don't remember where we were going that day, I do remember that we were late. But it didn't matter, because we did the right thing, and that woman was very grateful. Leave it to a 10-year-old kid to remind his pastor dad that Jesus wants more from us than just belief. Faith in Jesus requires action. Which brings us to our scripture lesson for this morning from James chapter 2, and I'll begin reading at verse 14. "What good is it, dear brothers and sisters, if you say you have faith but don't show it by your actions? Can that kind of faith save anyone? Suppose you see a brother or sister who has no food or clothing, and you say, 'Goodbye and have a good day, stay warm and eat well,' but then you don't give that person any food or clothing. What good does that do? So you see, faith by itself isn't enough. Unless it produces good deeds, it is dead and useless. Now, someone may argue, some people have faith, others have good deeds. But I say, how can you show me your faith if you don't have good deeds? I will show you my faith by my good deeds. You say you have faith, for you believe that there is one God. Good for you. Even the demons believe this, and they tremble in terror. How foolish. Can you see that faith without good deeds is useless? Don't you remember that our ancestor Abraham was shown to be right with God by his actions when he offered his son Isaac on the altar? You see, his faith and his actions worked together. His actions made his faith complete. And so it happened, just as the scriptures say. Abraham believed God, and God counted him as righteous because of his faith. He was even called the friend of God. So you see, we are shown to be right with God by what we do, not by faith alone. Rahab the prostitute is another example. She was shown to be right with God by her actions when she hid those messengers and sent them safely away by a different road. Just as the body is dead without breath, so also faith is dead without good works. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. So here's how I'd like for you to help me this morning. I'd like for you to turn to somebody nearby and deliver this message. The message is, your faith needs some flesh. Can you do that for me? Your faith needs some flesh. Protestant reformer Martin Luther called the book of James, from which we just read, the epistle of straw. He didn't mean that as a compliment. He didn't regard James as highly as other books in the New Testament because he worried that James promoted the idea of works righteousness. In other words, he was afraid that Christians could read the book of James and come to the conclusion that you can somehow earn your salvation from God by doing good works. And Luther was adamant. Salvation cannot be earned. Earning salvation is impossible. We owe a debt for our sin that cannot possibly be paid. No matter how many good works, good deeds, no matter how much action we stack up, we can never earn our salvation from God. Even the best of us can't do that, because even the best of us is too broken and sinful to ever merit favor from God. That's why we need Jesus. I mean, Jesus does for us what we cannot do for ourselves. Therefore, salvation can only be received as a free gift by way of faith in Jesus Christ. So it's true that in that sense, Luther was absolutely right. We can't earn our salvation. We can't do enough good deeds. But Luther was also wrong in assuming that that's what the book of James is actually saying. He kind of misses the point of James. James is writing to a group of Christians, some of whom are claiming that they have faith, but it's okay, even though they don't have any outward evidence of that faith. And according to James, that's impossible, because faith, if it's real faith, is always accompanied by action. Faith and good works are two sides of the same coin. It was sort of like we talked about last week when Jesus commanded us to love God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength, and the second commandment goes hand in hand with the first, love your neighbor as yourself. But Jesus was saying that the two of those things, loving God and loving others, is inextricably linked. They're two sides of the same coin. You can't separate the two. Well, the same thing is being said by James here about faith and good works. You can't separate, if faith is real, you can't separate good works from that faith. It's a natural byproduct. They go hand in hand. Now, it's true, you can't earn your salvation by doing good works, but action, according to James, always travels with genuine faith. That's why our passage started off the way it did in verse 14. This is what James says again. What good is it, dear brothers and sisters, if you say you have faith but don't show it by your actions? Can that kind of faith save anyone? And James is saying, hey, does just talking about faith mean that you actually have it? Of course not. No way. That kind of faith won't pass muster. That kind of faith isn't faith at all. Faith without action is deficient faith. It's not faith that's fully formed. Here's how the message renders the next part of that passage, verse 15. For instance, if you come upon an old friend dressed in rags and half starved and say, good morning, friend, be clothed in Christ, be filled with the Holy Spirit, and walk off without providing so much as a coat or a cup of soup, where does that get you? James's argument is that kind of faith is about as useful as a screen door on a submarine. It does nothing. James has very little patience for righteous talk without gracious action. He says it's worthless. If you want to be truly faithful, those two go hand in hand, belief and action, faith and good deeds. And this is verse 17. So you see, faith by itself isn't enough. Unless it produces good deeds, it is dead and useless. Faith and action aren't two different things. They always, always, always go together. You can't have faith without having skin in the game. Your faith needs some flesh. Anybody remember the game Follow the Leader? Anybody out there played that game as a kid? What about Simon Says? Anybody remember Simon Says? I don't know if kids still play those games. I hope they do. But years ago, I heard a sermon by Francis Chan, who was talking about these games, and he said, if you play Follow the Leader, of course, the point of the game is you do what the leader does. So if the leader hops on one foot and flops his arms around, then you hop on one foot and flop your arms around. That's how it works and follows how you play the game. But Chan said somehow in the church, we try to change following Jesus. We try to let ourselves off the hook by saying stuff like, well, you don't really have to hop on one foot and flop your arms around. You can do it in your heart. You can just believe it in your heart. You don't really have to do it. And it's true that we do that sometimes, don't we? I mean, Jesus says, follow me, and we say, I'm following you, Jesus. Right there with you in my heart. Same thing with Simon Says. Playing Simon Says as a kid, if Simon says something, then you had to do it. Simon Says, rub your belly. Well, you got to rub your belly. But Francis Chan said, you know, we've kind of changed Jesus Says. If Jesus says something, then we act like you just have to, like, memorize it. Or if Jesus says, you've got to study it. You got to learn how to say it in the Greek. When he said that, stung, because I like Greek words, but that's what he said. And then he said, you know, if I tell my daughter to go clean her room, she knows better than to come back to me a few hours later and say, hey, Dad, I memorized what you said. In fact, I know how to say it in the Greek now. And some of my friends are coming over, and we're going to sit around, drink some coffee. We got some Krispy Kreme donuts, and we're going to have a study about what it might look like for me to clean my room. Well, that's how Francis Chan says it. James says it like this. Faith, if it's real faith, has to lead to action. Over the past 23 years, I don't know how many times I've preached on this passage from the book of James. I know it's been quite a few. But out of all of those times, I don't think I've ever noticed verse 26. Maybe it's because when you're reading this passage, you get to that Rahab the prostitute section, and sometimes we cut that out and we don't read that with the whole part, and then just we get to 26. But this week, as I was pondering this, verse 26 really stuck out to me. Because just after James talks about the faith of Father Abraham, and he talks about the faith of Rahab the prostitute, both of which led to action, then he goes into verse 26, and this is what it says. Just as the body is dead without breath, so also faith is dead without good works. So just in case you missed it, when James said faith without works is dead, like five other ways in this passage, he ends the chapter with these words: just as the body is dead without breath, so also faith is dead without good works. Just as your body has to have breath in order to be alive, so also, James says, your faith has to have good works in order to be alive. And he's so adamant about it, he ends this long passage in chapter 2, he ends the whole chapter with those words. And that verse actually made me think of something else. Something that Dr. Eddie Fox said one time. Dr. Fox was the director of the World Evangelism Network for the World Methodist Council for 25 years. And one time somebody asked him, which is more important, personal piety, like prayer and scripture reading, worship, which is more important, personal piety or social action? And this is how Dr. Fox replied. It's like breathing. Personal piety is the way we breathe in. Social action is the way we breathe out. The only way to know which is more important is to ask which you did last. I love that. And maybe a similar thing is true with faith and action. Faith is the way we breathe in. Action is the way we breathe out. And one thing is for sure, both are essential because they are inseparable. Good works flow from the fountain of faith. In 1978, a young Methodist pastor in South Carolina saw a need in his community. There was an African-American family near him, and he noticed that their home had fallen into deep disrepair. And the pastor knew they didn't have the resources to fix their house, and he felt called by God to help. It was as if the Lord was summoning him to do something, to do anything to help this family. And so he pulled together the kids in his youth group, and he got some other people to chip in. They pooled resources to buy building materials. And for 1 week that summer, they went to work on that dilapidated home between the Saucahatchie and the Little Saucahatchie Rivers in Colleton County. And putting their faith into action, working on that home was, and engaging in relationship with that family was so transformational for those kids in that youth group and for that pastor that they wanted to do it again the following summer. They found another home to work on. In fact, they invited more kids this time. Actually, that happened summer after summer after summer. And Saucahatchie Summer Service was born. Over the past 40-plus years since that time, 63,000 high school students in South Carolina have put flesh on their faith. They've put their faith into action through Saucahatchie Summer Service. And they've actively shared the love of God with over 6,000 families in need, all as a result of one pastor and his youth group putting flesh on their faith. Now, if you're wondering, what does this have to do with this series, New Year, Same Mission? Let me just remind us of some words from Jesus. This is from the Sermon on the Mount. And here in that sermon, Jesus tells all those who are gathered, you are the salt of the earth. You are the light of the world. Nobody ever lights a lamp and then hides it under a basket. But instead, Jesus says in Matthew chapter 5, verse 16, in the same way, let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father in heaven. That's what we're called to as church. We're called to embody our faith, to put it into action, to let our light shine, to reflect God's grace to the world, to share God's love so that the world may see our good deeds and be drawn to our Father in heaven. And so here's a question. This week, how will you let your light shine? How will you put your faith into action? Because James is really clear. Faith without action is dead and useless. So, I'm just wondering, this week, how will you put flesh on your faith? Because our faith needs some flesh. Let us pray. Lord, in the busyness of life, slow us down. Give us eyes to see the needs all around us, and give us the imagination and the courage to put our faith into action, to let our lights shine for you, that the world may see our good deeds and be drawn to your amazing love. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, and all God's people said, amen.